Doctor! We're talking about hundreds of students! I know, Professor, but if Voldemort and the Death Eaters are concentrating on the school boundaries, they won't be interested in anyone who's disapparating out of the Hogshead. There's something in that, she agreed. She pointed her wand at the Carrows, and a silver net fell upon their bound bodies, tied itself around them, and hoisted them into the air, where they dangled beneath the blue and gold ceiling like two large, ugly sea creatures. Come, we must alert the other heads of house. You'd better put that cloak back on. She marched toward the door, and as she did so, she raised her wand. From the tip burst three silver cats with spectacle markings around their eyes. The Patronuses ran sleekly ahead, filling the spiral staircase with silvery light, as Professor McGonagall, Harry, and Luna hurried back down. Along the corridors they raced, and one by one the Patronuses left them. Professor McGonagall's tartan dressing gown rustled over the floor, and Harry and Luna jogged behind her under the cloak. They had descended two more floors when another set of quiet footsteps joined theirs. Harry, whose scar was still prickling, heard them first. He felt in the pouch around his neck for the Marauder's map, but before he could take it out, McGonagall too seemed to become aware of their company. She halted, raised her wand ready to duel, and said,
"Who's there?"
"It is I," said a low voice. From behind a suit of armor stepped Severus Snape. Hatred boiled up in Harry at the sight of him. He had forgotten the details of Snape's appearance in the magnitude of his crimes, forgotten how his greasy black hair hung in curtains around his thin face, how his black eyes had a dead, cold look. He was not wearing night clothes, but was dressed in his usual black cloak, and he too was holding his wand, ready for a fight. "Where are the Carrows?" he asked quietly.
"Wherever you told them to be, I expect, Severus," said Professor McGonagall.
Snape stepped nearer, and his eyes flitted over Professor McGonagall into the air around her, as if he knew that Harry was there. Harry held his wand up too, ready to attack.
"I was under the impression," Snape said, "that Alecto had apprehended an intruder."
"Really?"
said Professor McGonagall. "And what gave you that impression?" Snape made a slight flexing movement of his left arm where the dark mark was branded into his skin.
"Oh, but naturally," said Professor McGonagall, "you Death Eaters have your own private means of communication. I forgot."
Snape pretended not to have heard her. His eyes were still probing the air all about her, and he was moving gradually closer with an air of hardly noticing what he was doing.
"I did not know that it was your night to patrol the corridors, Minerva.
You have some objection?
I wonder what could have brought you out of your bed at this late hour."
"I thought I heard a disturbance," said Professor McGonagall.
"Really? But all seems calm."
Snape looked into her eyes.
"Have you seen Harry Potter, Minerva? Because if you have, I must insist."
Professor McGonagall moved faster than Harry could have believed. Her wand slashed through the air, and for a split second, Harry thought that Snape must crumple, unconscious. But the swiftness of his shield charm was such that McGonagall was thrown off balance. She brandished her wand at a torch on the wall, and it flew out of its bracket. Harry, about to curse Snape, was forced to pull Luna out of the way of the descending flames, which became a ring of fire that filled the corridor and flew like a lasso at Snape. Then it was no longer fire, but a great black serpent that McGonagall blasted to smoke, which reformed and solidified in seconds to become a swarm of pursuing daggers. Snape avoided them only by forcing the suit of armor in front of him, and with echoing clangs, the daggers sank, one after another, into its breast.
"Minerva!"
said a squeaky voice, and looking behind him, still shielding Luna from flying spells, Harry saw Professors Flitwick and Sprout sprinting up the corridor toward them in their nightclothes, with the enormous Professor Slughorn panting along at the rear.
"No!"
squealed Flitwick, raising his wand.
"You'll do no more murder at Hogwarts!